Pastor Ralph is going to give the message today. Before I hand you the mic, though, is it okay if I share something that God gave me?
Absolutely.
Thank you. During worship, God simply put to me that we should listen with ears of children today for the message that Pastor Ralph is going to be delivering. And when I say with the ears of children, I mean picture yourself as a small child. Remove any ideas or experiences that you've had, because this is going to be new. You cannot understand or receive this by your own worldly wisdom or your own sense of understanding. You must rely and depend upon the Holy Spirit to receive what this message has for you today. Now, without further ado, one and only Pastor Ralph.
Praise God. Thank you, man. Good morning, everyone. Can I tell you a secret? I would like to tell you what I love. I mean this from the core of my being. I love the atmosphere of you. Did you hear me? I love the atmosphere of you. Please never take your atmosphere from me. Is that all right? Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for the atmosphere of holiness in this place. We thank you for your kingdom here now. We thank you for blind eyes opening. We thank you for deaf ears hearing. We thank you for feet that were wayward and lame now walking wholly on the path that you've given us. Father God, we love you for all that you are. Father, let the words of my mouth be your words. Let the secret thoughts of my mind reveal to your people here today be your thoughts. Father God, I thank you for heaven now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, does anybody know what today is?
Payday.
That's right. It's Payday Sunday. I know Brother Matt's saying, well, that's Wednesday. No, but this is Payday Sunday. Let me tell you why. It only happens once every year, okay? And it's when you get up an hour earlier to get here, it's because you're getting paid, okay? You get overtime, okay? Because in reality, you got up a little early. You're working a little bit different today. But the work that you're going to do is work of listening. I thank you, man of God, for sharing what God has shared with you during the worship. I also want to tell you, God, with him, there are no big I's and little U's. You see, I'm going to share something today, but the ultimate is this. Nothing ever grows beyond the atmosphere that keeps it. Nothing ever grows beyond the atmosphere that keeps it. Never concern what's happening. Always concern what's keeping the thing that's being happened upon. In other words, some people fall. Never concern yourself about that you fell or where you fell. But always concern yourself about where you slipped. You see, because if you mind the slips, you'll never have a fall. Love is a product of the atmosphere of love. Before God creates a thing, he creates the atmosphere for the thing to thrive. Follow me? So I'm talking principle. God has shown me you and the atmosphere he has created to keep you holy. I love you. So as we go into this message, I'd like to start off by sharing, by the way, this is not a sermon, okay? This is really just precious time with the Lord. I pray that you receive it that way. And I thank God for Pastor Rhonda, because on December 16th, she actually said, in this very pulpit, she said, you know, I just asked the Lord, what is it that we should be talking about? If you all recall, she had taken a trip with Brother Gary and had gone to, anybody remember where? Texas, that's right. And then she actually saw a number of things, one of which was what was considered the tallest statue in all of Texas. Do you remember that? It was a big, tall statue. I don't remember how. It seemed like it was 10 times taller than the average person. And it was commemorating one of the noblemen of Texas, Sam Houston. That's exactly right. And giving honor to all that he did for the state of Texas and our country, they put that statue in place. And then Pastor Rhonda was just thinking, wow, they honor him. Well, we should honor God. Like, that's what, and then all of a sudden it hit her spirit. She says, you know, hit her heart. We should be talking about honoring God. And she actually started on December 16th, giving the first message. This is the final of the 10-part series, honoring God. And this was really more a revelation or a conversation around the characteristics of God, the attributes of God. Okay? And so who in here has been on that journey so far with all of us? It's pretty good, right? Who in here has learned something? Pretty good, right? So if you remember, now these are Pastor Rhonda's, the words that she's shared with us over that period of time. And then you can see that the handwriting is very nice and orderly. You can understand it. She's got down 15 different things. Today I'm going to be talking about the 16th thing. I'll talk about that here in a second, about the God is an attribute of God. Just by all means know that this isn't a final total list of the attributes of God, but these are the attributes that Pastor Rhonda had received from the Holy Spirit that we should really begin to focus on as a priority, okay? So the first one is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. I asked, if you have the mics, I want to hear from example, what does this mean here, the word omni there? Anybody just give me some food for thought. What does that really mean to you? Anybody? Seth?
All?
It means all.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So omni means all. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means all omniscient. What does that mean? All knowing. All potent. What does that mean? All powerful. All present. What does that mean? That means everywhere. Okay. So that's pretty clear. And then we have pro-life, doesn't change, truthful. So God is pro-life, doesn't change, and truthful. He's incorruptible, God is loving, and God is faithful. What does loving mean? God is loving. Raise your hand and he'll give the microphone to you.
Forgiving.
Okay. God is loving. God is forgiving. Wonderful. Okay. Anybody else? Brother Joe?
Helpful.
God is helpful. Very good. Okay. So when God is loving, means that he's available. It means that he is willing to be patient with you. The Bible says love is patient. So that means that he'll never do this. Will you cut to the chase? I'm saying that for you guys to say that to me today. but love is meditation. It's without distraction. So God actually is loving because when he listens to you, when he comes to you, he is not distracted. Do you understand that? Can you imagine if you're talking to God and you're having a deep conversation, pouring out your heart, and he says, oh, just hold on a moment. The phone just rang. I got to take this call. You see, that's not how God works, right? So he's loving. And it says God is faithful. What does that mean, faithful? Anybody? He'll never leave you? Okay. So faithful is this. It means, as it's in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, it says God, he's only limited by what he speaks. Because when he says something, he does it. So faithful is being the act of hearing and doing exactly as you hear, or saying and doing exactly as you say. So God is faithful. They say, great is his faithfulness. Brother Joe?
Hey, faithful, loving, and true.
Praise God. That's good. So ultimately, God is always available. And when he says that he'll do something for you, guess what? He cannot not do it. So grab a hold of that. It says God is just and righteous. He's gracious. He's sovereign. God is good. What does good mean? Good means relevant. God is good because God is relevant. If God is good, but he's not good for you, then what is it to you? So God is good because he's relevant. Okay. God is merciful. God is jealous. Jealous means he's not going to share the whole of you with anything else. That means that, well, but God, I have to do this. He says, like, but God, I have to breathe, don't I? He says, I am your breath. He says, God, but don't I have to eat? He says, I am your food. You see? So God is jealous. So he desires everything. And the truth is, if you take your any part of you and put it towards anything other than God, then you're hurting yourself. You're harming yourself. And we'll talk about that. But today's message is going to focus on God is holy. God is holy. God is holy. Now, what is holy? I'd like to hear from you now. What is holy?
Without sin.
That's good. Anything else?
Set apart.
Set apart. Okay.
Pure. Pure.
Pure. Anybody else? Evan?
One.
One. Joe?
Holy.
Holy.
And he's also patient.
He's patient. That's exactly right. Now listen to this. So we heard pure, set apart, sinless, one, patient. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Who in here is sinless? Okay, we got three hands, four hands. Now, their hands are seeming like, well, maybe I should be sinless, so count me in. Hey, can I ask you a question? Is that a good question? I mean, because we're quick to say, hey, ain't nobody perfect. Only God. But the Bible says what? Be ye holy as I am holy. I mean, I didn't put it in the Bible. I really didn't. You got to believe me on that. It's in 1 Peter. I didn't put it in there. Okay? So if that's true, then before you walked in here and before you leave, you'll be a new person, because there's some thinking, paradigms of understandings and behaviors that you've had that are now being realigned according to the love of God. Okay? Because holiness, well, I mean, we'll talk about that. That's what today's message is about. It's about holiness. And please don't look so, you know, when you think of holy, when I was thinking holy in the past, I was thinking somebody dressed in black, somebody with a sad face, right? Like, woe is me, I'm holy, right? But now I know different. I actually know that it's the masterstroke in life. To be holy, you have to declare your holiness. Now, you don't have to put your hands up on this, but question, have you ever declared that you are holy? You see? Have you ever walked up to someone and says, please meet you, I'm holy. It's like, Ralph, you seem like you need a checkup from the neck up talking like that. But that's right. So when it comes down to it, the questions that we'll ask, address in our message today is why holy, how God made you holy, what does holy look like when you wear it? Well, that he said it looked like a piece of Swiss cheese. Well, that's how I used to look before I had revelation. Listen, a lot of people have knowledge, but not everybody has accurate knowledge. The reason why we come here today is sharpen the iron. That's it, right? So that we don't have to, you know, go around in the dark anymore, faking it till we make it, never do. We can actually walk in the fullness of God's light as he's designed us to do. It's not real hard when you get the revelation of it, okay? God is holy. The attributes of his holiness reveals God's personality, his purpose, and his promise. God is holy. The attributes of his holiness reveals God's personality, purpose, and promise. Holiness reveals there are things that God does and that there are things that God just simply does not do. I asked, what does holy really mean? And then there's a definition here, and I'll just share with you what it says in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. It says, dedicated or consecrated to God or a religious purpose, sacred, of a person devoted to the service of God. Now listen to their synonyms to holy. Sacred, consecrated, hallowed, sanctified, venerated, revered, reverenced, divine, religious, blessed, and dedicated. But listen to the antonym. Unsanctified, cursed. Antonym means the opposite of synonym. So if you're not holy, you're cursed. Now I'm going to ask again, who in here is holy? So now listen to me. Let me introduce myself. I'm Ralph. I'm holy and proud of it. No shame in my game. You understand? When you know the truth, it'll make you free about this. Holy, there's no other way. You were born holy. I mean, you were. How do I know? Because Adam was created holy. Something went cattywampus after he was created, but it had nothing to do with God. There are a couple scriptures I'm going to run you through. Get your Bibles out. And I'm now speaking to your spirit. Never receive anything from anybody, even from this pulpit, unless it quickens in your heart. The Holy Spirit is there to quicken it. The reason why we share the scripture the way we do is to provoke awakening of the Holy Spirit in your heart so that you begin to really come alive to it. I love what Brother Joe said to me this morning. He walked over to me and he did this. He said like this. Brother Joe, he like this. He went like this, and I went a little closer, and he goes, I hear long distance. I said, remember that, Brother Joe? He says, you hear long distance. Now listen to me. I know who was talking inside of Joe. That wasn't Joe. That was God talking to me. He was revealing something to me. Every time you open your mouth towards me, I'm listening with bated breath because I know God is in you. And you know what? I know God is in you. So if there's anything else that is not like God, I'm just like pushing it to the side. I'm still listening because I know God is in. He's going to, if I keep listening long enough and I listen long distance, I can hear God in you. And why should I want to hear God in you? Because God says he put treasure in earthen vessels. That means there's treasure in each one of us for each one of us. And so if I can listen generously, long distance like, some people you have to listen a little longer than others, right? To hear the voice of God, but it's in there. He's in there. And when you hear him, you go, Eureka! Praise God! And then you link up and hook up with God in the person you're looking at. And something happens between the two of you. It's called a miracle. It's a breakthrough. That's why he also said to me, he pulled his finger to me and said, how can you love somebody if you don't love yourself? See, I know that God is here. I hear man of God, and I'm like, oh my gosh, God is here. Seth, Solomon both make fun of me because I say, my wife and I, we met each other on November 17th in 1983. And then everywhere I turn around, it's like I see 17s and I see 11s. And I say, oh my gosh, look at this. Look what just happened. Seth and Solomon's birthday are 17 days apart from one another. My birthday's on the 17th. My wife's birthday's on the 17th. Listen to this. She was born in the 3rd month. I was born in the 8th month. Putting two together is 11th month. That's the month we met. I mean, I can go forward and on. And he said, Dad, this is. And then they take out the violin and said, oh, here go Dad's doing all this again. But can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? When you have the love of God in your heart, and Do you understand? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and another they will not follow. That means different than what you think. That means whenever you listen to somebody, you're listening for Jesus in that person. And if you don't hear Jesus, you keep listening. And you're provoking Jesus to come forward. You see? And then when you hear Jesus, bam, you hear the scripture says, when the two or more gathered in my name, there I'll be also. Then all of a sudden you're having church in front of somebody that you had to listen long distance to hear God. But now, he says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And we're closer. We're walking humbly together in ways that words cannot describe. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3. Of the attributes of God, this is the only attribute that has been, the Bible mentions it three times in a row. It says, I'm reading from the Tyndale Living Bible version. It says, in a great antiphonal chorus, they sang, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Holy, holy, holy. Wow. It says, yeah, it's three times in a row. I don't see anywhere in the Bible it says believe, 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 or faith, 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 or omnipresent, omnipresent, omnipresent. But why three times? Can I tell you? It's that important. Can I tell you why? Because that's your destination. That is the only reason. There's nothing beyond this. It's let me show you another place. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew 6 and verse 9 says, anybody there? After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. H-A-L-L-O-W-E-D. Hallowed. That word hallowed means holy, but it actually means make holy. So when they ask Jesus, how should we pray? He says, pray in the fashion as this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means heaven, quote unquote, could be a long distance if you're not mindful. Hallowed is taking his name and making it holy where you are. It's not like, yeah, you're holy and you're over there a long distance. But hallowed means I take the holiness that is there in heaven and I manifest the holiness here on earth. It is an expectation. It's a mindset. It is the only way we're one with God. Holiness. So in this process, there are things that we can do, and there's things that God has already done to make us holy, to reveal our holiness to us. God made us holy. However, somehow, we went to sleep. And we have to wake up. Arise, O sleeper. So the whole point is that how to then, if you say I'm holy, then on Sundays, how about Mondays? You holy on Mondays too? Yeah. Not so much? Yeah. Okay. See, because if you're not mindful, you could be holy on Sundays and not so holy on Mondays. So you could be holy in one situation, but unholy in another situation. Let me give an example. I was in the car. I've seen it happen, and somebody just cut somebody off, and then forget about it. It's just like, you're just like all over the place. Well, I was in a car recently, and I was driving, and then this one guy, I was on a turnpike. It was a truck driver, and I'm coming on the left-hand lane, but for some reason, he didn't want me to go on the left. I mean, just pass him. The truck driver actually went over into the left-hand lane, and I'm telling you, it was like, what are you going to do? And then immediately, I just hollered at him in the car, okay? But I just said, after that, I pulled on the brakes and I was able to avoid the accident. But the point here is I said, wow, I shouldn't have hollered at him. I should not have hollered at him. That wasn't the holy thing to do. So we can be holy until something happens. Maybe not you, okay? What I'm saying is that we have to be, holiness is not serendipitous. What I mean by that is no one is holy by accident. Holiness has to be intentional. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing asunder both bone and marrow, and separating the thoughts from the intent of a man's heart. God is a God at heart for this purpose, to check to see if your intentions are holy. The masterstroke in life is have a holy intent. Because even should you fall, the Bible says, though a righteous man fall down, will he not get back up again? But the Bible says in Proverbs, it says, though a wicked person falls in a calamity, they're done. It's over with. The calamity takes them out. Boom. There's no getting back up. And the beautiful part about this whole scripture about falling down, a righteous person falling down, get back up, it's not that they fell down. It's that every time they did, guess what? God was there to pick them up. That's the emphasis. You up again? You again? You're up again? Man, you got more lives than a cat. It's my Father that keeps me. And you hear the scripture says, and who are you, O man, to judge another man's servant? By that master, that servant can stand or fall. And when you get back up again, you reveal God is with you. And where God is, the epicenter of holiness abides and reigns. Is this making sense? How you all feeling about holiness? Okay. Holier, that's right. That's good. High five, Brother Dave. John, Brother James, okay, holier. That's good, because you know, I'll share it with you. This is pretty good. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 17, in the King James Version says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, and the next two verses says, but as he has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. This is very powerful scripture. I'm going to bring it back here, but it really says, be holy as I'm holy, and it says, God will judge every person's work without partiality. God is no respecter of person. I'm going to show you by way of principle this. And because God is this way, he says, then spend the rest of your days here on this earth in fear. Now, I'm going to explain to you what I mean by that, what the Holy Spirit is sharing on that. But I'd like you to go with me to Genesis chapter 1 first. I'm going to show you something by way of the principle of God. I'm going to share this. All these attributes that Pastor Ron has shared with us of God, immediately, without revelation, without insight, just by natural faith, you know, thinking God is in heaven and you're here, you say omnipotent, pro-life. Do you understand these are attributes of God, characteristics of God, but they're really your characteristics? Because God created you in his image and likeness. Everything on this board is you and is just waiting for you to realize it, come into an awakening of it. You know, what do I mean by that? To wear it. That's it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, listen to this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, first of all, who created the heaven and the earth? God. So who belongs to the heaven and the earth? Yeah, but God created it, so it's his. Do you understand that? So that means God could do whatever he chooses to do here. Isn't that right? That's how it started out. Okay? But the point is, yes, he gave us the heaven and the earth. He says all of it. It's yours. Run with it. But on the same note, he's also saying, I also created you in my image and likeness. So if you want to run with it like Frank Sinatra, you're going to have a rough way going because, you know, I created you in my image to be me in every circumstance and situation. If you want to be someone less than me, like the created thing, it's going to be a rough way. Now, God says, in the beginning I created the heavens and the earth. In verse 2 it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When it says the Spirit of God moved upon, it's like the Spirit of God muttered, the Spirit of God meditated. Okay, that means the Spirit of God loved. Well, he loved it with his truth. And now he reveals his truth. He says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So God created light out of himself. He extended light out of himself in the midst of the deep of darkness. And he saw the light, and he said it was good. Now, you know, like I know, if this room was with the lights out, we walked in, turned the light on, what happens to the darkness? It goes away. But watch the next verse. It says, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. That makes no sense. Because when you turn the light on, darkness goes. Why would God then divide the light from the dark? What I'm telling you here is that this is the principle of God, of who he is, the personality of God. And every promise that he has for you is anchored on that principle of separating the light from the dark. And if you have a promise God has given you and is not manifest in your life, check the darkness in your life. Jesus said, let thy light be single, having no dark corners. Why would he say that? He says, even if it's a little darkness, how great is that darkness? Do you know glory is the state of amplifying the thing being glorified? When Jesus glorified God, it magnified God's presence, his knowledge, his insight, his personality, his reverence in that circumstance. Glory is to go large. We are called. In this verse, it's chock full of revelation. It says, and God saw the light and said it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. The ability to discern, watch this, the ability to discern the difference between light and dark is called God's wisdom. It's the ability to discern what's right and wrong. That means when God created you in his image and likeness, he gave you his wisdom to do the same thing. Hold your finger there for a minute. Go with me to John chapter 3. When you get there, say amen. I'm going to go to a scripture that you all know about. John 3, chapter 3, verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We're good. I know that. I'm dialed in. But look at verse 17 and onward. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the purpose of Jesus Christ was not condemnation. It was never condemnation. It was actually salvation. Salvation from what? Can I tell you plainly? From the wrath of God. Did you hear me? The salvation that you say you have is the salvation from God's wrath. Why? Because it says he is no respecter of persons. He judges impartially by what person a person does. Now, as I'm talking, are you feeling a little something like trembling like? You see, because watch this. Do you know what fear is? Fear, the root word of it, is called ear. That means you hear with your ear, that is, when you hear with God's ear. In any event, when you hear with your ear, the F stands for you feel it. It goes beyond one sense. It's in multi senses. You fear, you can feel the fear. You could smell fear. And you have to make a decision. Do I fight or do I flight? Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. Listen to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. To believe is a function of your eyes. Believing is focus on steroids. That's why focus equals genius, because what you focus on will expand. When you believe on Jesus, you look upon Jesus. Jesus promised, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Paul said, "As follow me as I follow Christ." When you look upon him, you see what he does, and you do what he does. We get a chance to do that. However, now you start to understand why in Job chapter 31 and verse 1, Job said, I make a covenant with God with my eyes. Because it's the only way to my salvation. Oh, and by the way, you could not demonstrate faith of God without believing. You need your eyes. Faith is hearing. Faith is your spiritual ears. Believing is your spiritual eyes. Jesus says, he that believeth upon him, in verse 18, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We'll come back to what that means, begotten. But it says in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Didn't I say that love is the perfect state of meditation without distraction on the thing that you're loving? They loved darkness. You know what that meant? That meant that their eyes were on darkness all the time. Can I tell you what that meant? If we're in Pennsylvania and our desire is to go to Florida and we get in a car, we got full tank of gas, we got all the a brand new car, GPS loaded into the destination where we're going, and the road is good, the weather's right, and we start heading down there, what happens as we're driving southbound on 95 if we're deciding to turn our head northbound while we're driving southbound? Seatbelts aren't going to help you. Is that right? Then why in the world would you think you could get in this walk with God and turn your feet in the other direction and expect to walk with him? All right, let me put it another way. What's this whole thing about eyes? You see, but it says, where my eyes go, my thoughts flow. If you can control your thoughts, you can master your life. You can master your words. Everything you talk about are thoughts incubated in your heart. Bam. Jesus says, not what you eat that defiles a person, is what you speak, because what you speak reveals what you've been meditating on, what you've been chewing on. Do you not know that the only activity of spirit is that of thought? So what you think reveals the spirit that you're walking with. You catch the revelation of this. Holy Spirit, God gives you his eyes, and you can say, oh, I see that spirit, I see that spirit, I see that spirit. The Bible says you can tell the tree by the fruit that it bears. You can tell the spirit by the thoughts that it thinks and the words that it speaks. The words that it speaks, watch this, are not communication, they're creation. Everything that comes out of your mouth is spirit creating. That's why the Bible says, the foolishness of a man ruins his life, yet his heart rages against God to say, God, look what you've done to me. And God says, I've never done any of all that to you. What I said to you is in Proverbs chapter 4 and 23, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. So we were in Genesis chapter 1, and I said, God began to separate the light from the dark. He could do that only by wisdom, that very wisdom that he did it. See, heaven is a place of purity. You guys know this. Heaven is a place of righteousness, peace, and joy, where there's no believing in heaven. There's only total certainty. You believe when there's opposition from doubt. That means believing is forceful. You know, when the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent taketh by force. What they're saying is that the kingdom of heaven is a very powerful place, but only the forceful can lay hold of it. The forceful is the forcefulness of focus. That means you believe. That means, watch this. The Bible says, follow me on this, though suffering may last for the night, what's the next part? Joy comes in the morning. Do you understand that? Though suffering may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. What that's talking about is the principle of how it works with believing. Though suffering may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. The Bible says it this way. Old things pass away, all things become new. The Bible says you can call things forward, though they be not as they are, that the unseen become seen. In Psalms chapter 120, I'm speaking to your spirit. That's why I'm speaking like this, because I'm going past your intellect. I'm speaking to your spirit. Let me hear you say this. I'm holy.
I'm holy.
There's no other way. Holiness is who I am.
Holiness
I'm holy because God is holy.
I'm holy because God is holy.
And God is holy because he's here.
And God is holy because he's here.
That's my story.
That's my
story. I'm sticking to it. So ultimately, in your life, as I'm talking to you right now, in your heart, you ever hear check yourself before you wreck yourself? I am telling you to search in your heart to see if there's any dark corners. Okay? What I'm talking to you about is the ability to exercise, demonstrate the wisdom of God in your circumstance. You have the authority. I'm going to pause here for a moment. Go with me to 1 John chapter 1. Say amen when you get there. What I'm going to share with you is why holiness. Because you could do things and go through the motions and you not understand the big picture. But the net of it is, in this place, God never does anything good to you. You understand that? God never does anything good to you. He only does good through you. If God gives you something good, it's not, he gives it, he's no respecter of person. The moment you take all that God has given you and say, back off, world, it becomes toxic to you. It becomes even in the form of frustration. So therefore, you have to understand that what God gives you is always on assignment. Let me hear you say that. What God gives me is always on assignment. The characteristic of being holy is being faithful with what God gives me. You got that? So when God gives you something, good means relevant. Nothing is, if it's not relevant, it's not good to the person that it should be good towards. If God is good, the Bible says the gospel of Jesus Christ is good, but if it's not relevant, it's not good. So if God gives you something, watch this. Jesus has a name. It's called Passion of the Christ. Isn't that right? So Passion of the Christ, that was how he described. He loved the Father so much. He had passion for the Father. Now watch this. If you have passion for God and all that he has for you, then in order for it to mean anything to anybody else, you have to have compassion towards other people. So in order to demonstrate the passion of the Christ where it matters in a good way to the person next to you, before your eyes, before your ears, you have to have compassion. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Jasper, I love you. See that? You know, I actually was talking to a person and I said to them, I would like to just tell you right off the bat, I love you. And they really got taken aback by that. Love, man, that people use that word too cheaply. And they were literally offended. I mean, like almost like you could see it in their face, like they're biting their lip that I said that I love them. How dare you to say you love me? You don't even know me. I said that to my wife when I first met her. Right? Isn't that true, honey? That's true. But watch this. So if I'm not permitted to say that I love you, is it okay? Is it better if I just walk and say I hate you? Think about it. That's stupid thinking. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit revealed to me, he says, if you open up your mouth and if whatever's coming out is not love, it's murder. Let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart not be wayward according to the will of God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read the first two verses. Listen to this. That which was from the beginning, that's what we have heard. So it says from the beginning, we've actually heard. That which we have seen with our own eyes, we've seen it. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, we've touched it. Do you understand what's happening here? What they're talking about is an immersive experience, 3D. They're talking about someone that relates to them, someone that cares, that has a clue about you or about them and their circumstance. It says, of the word of life, in verse 2 it says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. This is the responsibility that I'm telling you. The entire concept of coming to church, reading the Bible, studying the Word, singing praise songs, it's about this, manifesting Jesus. If you're doing it for any other reason, you're misguided. All right, watch this. Who in here has a Bible? Raise your hand. Okay. Who in here has a Bible in their home? Raise your hand. Okay, that's about all of you. Because you have a Bible in your home, does that mean you're saved? Okay. What if you had 10 Bibles in your home? Does that mean your house is saved? I'm going somewhere with this. Brother, you're part of Gideon's. Gideon's is a nonprofit organization that gives out Bibles. Over 100 years ago, 102 years ago, my great-grandfather was born. John L. Bean, Mobile, Alabama, April 20th, 1917. Listen to me. Over the last 102 years, do you think that there are more Bibles printed on the planet Earth than there were 102 years ago? Yeah. You don't have to think about it. Everybody tells you, look at the New York Times bestseller list, the Bible is the best-selling book of all times in the history of records. All right, so here's another question. In that 102 years, now that we have a proliferation of Bibles, more than we can count practically, is the world getting more heavenly?
No.
Come on. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. I said, you having a Bible makes you saved as much as you going to McDonald's makes you a cheeseburger or Big Mac. You know, that's what Jonathan Shuttleworth says. All of this stuff, begin to understand when they said, Jesus, didn't we in your name go away, for I've never known you. The only way Jesus could ever know you is in a place called holiness. Do you know holiness has another name? It's called Christ. It is the essence of holiness on this earth. Christ, I used to think, was his last name. Jesus Christ, Mary Christ, Joseph Christ. I now know it's a place. It's a place, the only place, where Jesus and I can be one. Jesus and you can be one. It's a place where we live, move, and have our being. Holiness is his name in Christ. It's the only place where you can be one, Evan, where Jesus is the head and you're the body. Let me put it another way. This whole concept is about manifesting Jesus. Peter, he was a disciple of who? John was a disciple of who? Okay, you catching this? Okay. So you see, who can see me here? Raise your hand. You can see me, all right? So in this case, if somebody says, you know Ralph? Yeah, I know Ralph. What does he look like? He's this tall. He's got this guy. Boom, 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 boom. Right? You got me dialed in. But watch this. Was Paul a disciple? Was he a disciple like Peter? Did he have the same disciple as Peter? No. But Paul wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Isn't that right? So Paul didn't see Jesus. He didn't have dinner with him. He didn't go fishing with him. He didn't see him do all those miracles while he was here doing them. Are you catching this? But yet and still, by the way, Paul did not join a church. You understand this? But yet and still, he wrote two-thirds of the Bible that we have with the aid of the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying here is when Thomas declared, I will believe once I touch the nail prints in his hand and his side, and Jesus shows up walking through the wall, goes over to Thomas and say, Thomas, let me see your hand. Put him in my nail print here and in my side. Then he said, stop doubting. He says, you believe because you see. What he's saying there is that what triggers your belief matters. If the natural things that are temporal and passing away is what, when I see it, I'll believe it. I'm from Missouri. That sort of thing, it's limiting. It's deceiving. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but therein leads to death. But he said, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. That means that they were able to see, watch this. When Adam and Eve, in the garden with God, walked in the cool of the day, they were good. They lacked nothing. But when they sinned, the consequence of their sin was that they lost their eyesight. So in this place, you cannot trust your eyes. That's why faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That means you have to hear the word and catch the picture that comes from the hearing. You can see what God is saying. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you hear it, what's the picture? Grab a hold of that picture. Let that be your eyes. You see? So ultimately, this whole concept of holiness is about us manifesting Jesus Christ here on this earth. It's not about big I's and little U's. It's really, what is it that you lack? Come to me and drink. I'm not being arrogant. I'm being assured and confident about who God has called me to be. You see, because if you're not mindful, you could get the impression that, you know, religion won't allow you to say these things. Because my agenda in all of this, I love Word of Life Church. You know why? Because as the Holy Spirit has allowed me to learn things and understand things or wake up to things, I've been able to come back and say, Pastor Rhonda, here's what the Word says, and this is what the Holy Spirit's telling me what it's really meaning. And some of the things you go, wow, that's good. I haven't seen it like that before. Other times, like, oh, I don't know, Ralph. And Brother Barry sitting back there, 10 years ago, I had shared with him a particular thing, and he says, nah, that's like, whoa. And now today, he comes to me and says, you know what you told me 8 years ago? He says, oh my gosh, I'm so on it. My wife is saying, Barry, you're just too much. You know, you're like Ralph. Is this helpful here as far as holy is concerned? I'm going to just share with you just a couple more scriptures and we're going to close out because we're really pretty much at the top of the hour. I wish you had a pen. Does anybody have a pen where they could just write this down? Okay, write this down, please. Holiness is the fear of the Lord perfected. Holiness is the fear of the Lord perfected. In other words, holiness is produced and revealed when the fear of the Lord in you is perfected. While you're doing that, you say, well, Rob, that sounds a little far out of place here. Well, let me just show you a scripture that solidifies that, okay, because we must stay with the word, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, in the King James Version it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. So what is the fear of the Lord then? Yes, Brother Jasper. Fear of the Lord is wisdom. Okay. So we went to Genesis chapter 1 and right around verse 3 and 4. And it says, God separated the light from the dark. And I said, that's the wisdom of God to be able to discern the difference between right and wrong. Okay. And you know what, just for time, I'm just going to go ahead and just give this to you so we can, you know, go forward. And, you know, we talk more about these things in Bible study on Wednesday, Payday Wednesday. I encourage you all, if you find that this is useful and could help you accomplish the goals that God's had for you, please come on out, persevere and do that. You will be promoted, I promise you. Okay, so it says the wisdom of God, all right? Watch this. Job chapter 28, verse 28 says, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. To shun evil is understanding. Wisdom, the only thing lacking is wisdom. Wisdom to be able to discern the difference between what's love and what's not. And watch this. Wisdom, fear of the Lord is wisdom. Wisdom is to know the difference between right and wrong. So that means wisdom is to know. Understanding is to show that you know. That is, oh, so you know? Then demonstrate. Show me that which is. Do what God did. Separate the light from the dark in your life. Go ahead. Do it. Do you know in the scripture where the Bible says there'll be two in a field and, you know, one will be taken, one will remain? There'll be one kneading dough, two kneading dough, one be taken, one remain. Do you understand what that's talking about? The Bible says God's eyes search to and fro the whole earth. He looks and sees whose hearts are perfect towards them and he exalts them. And those whose hearts are wicked towards him, he abases them. God removes the people. The Bible says the wicked are like the blade of grass. They're here today and gone tomorrow. One day you see them, boom. Next day is as if they were never there. So the Bible says when the cup is full, when it comes to sin, everybody has a cup. Okay? God gives us 120 years to repent. I have so much to share, but I'm going to wind it down here because ultimately Wisdom is to know. Understanding is to show that you know. When you are able to, therefore, separate, the Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee. You have a part to play here because God has given you authority in creating you in his likeness and image. That's why when it's right, God supports you and takes care and makes sure that the demons that are coming after you go to flight. All right? So the whole point is that we have to, we talked about when we did the communion last, about how you can actually bring condemnation to yourself because you don't do this introspection. Just say, hey, you know what? Is there some area in my life, right, that there's some dark there and I'm tolerating because what you tolerate will dominate. And just say enough is enough, right? And if you could use some help in that area, you can just come talk. We're here for you, okay? But on the same note, it all starts with you, okay? You can declare, as for me and my house. I want to show you one more scripture. Go to Revelation chapter 22, because ultimately, Revelation chapter 22. Now, listen to this. Do you know that we're a triune being? What do we have?
Spirit.
Okay, body, soul, and spirit. Okay, and then what is your soul?
Mind,
will, and emotion. Okay, now watch this. Now, here's the deal. Okay, that means if heaven is above and earth is beneath, you're the meeting place. Where heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. So where does it happen? It happens in your soul. When God's spirit shows up, it resides in your soul. God always has, watch this, your soul is always in communication with God. Do you know that? No matter what. But guess what happens? Your mind doesn't have to be, though. All right, let me share. All illness is a result of your search for something outside of you. All illness is a result of your searching for something outside of you. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, when he created man with both heaven and earth on the inside of him. Watch this. For a person, the Bible says, lose your soul. How can you lose your soul when God says all soul belongs to me? What it's really talking about is, remember holiness? You said it was separation. Watch this. What God does for those who choose not to separate those things that are not of him from themselves, God separates their mind from their soul. It's called reprobate mind. In that state, they don't know the difference from up and down, right from wrong. They walk around groping as if in the dark, even during the noonday. Are you catching this? Mm-hmm. So this scripture in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 11, it says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. What I'm saying here, the Bible says that there's a time and a season for everything. The Bible says when you hear this word, harden not your hearts. I'm telling you, where is Paul today? And where is Jesus today? Where's the Holy Spirit today? All right, look, Paul is not here. Jesus is here in the form of the Holy Spirit, and he's looking for a body. If Jesus did that with Paul, who gave him his body, his hands, his eyes, his mouth, his feet, then why won't he do even more with you? Paul has nothing on you because you have all that he's done in writing. And you have Jesus like he did.
Right, amen.
Wake up. Wake up.